And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. I'm talking about Alabama. I mean, this show broadcasts a signal way on down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia and Tennessee, and even Mississippi, thrown in just for good measure. All right. Hey, listen, text lines are indeed open, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Dwight from Decatur says he's a right side. He says you're Huckleberry. So, okay. Donna from Right Side says she just shouted in all caps, right side. So appreciate you, Donna. Ryan from Hazel Green says a theory you may enjoy. The handle on a casket used to be called a huckle. Doc was actually saying Huckleberry. He was saying Hucklebearer, as I will carry you to your grave. Interesting. I heard another version of what that Huckleberry means, and it's not one that I'm going to talk about on the radio. So, Ryan, I've never heard that before. It's very cool. You know what? I like yours. All right. Hey, listen, by the way, the show is on multiple mediums right now. One of those is now Twitter, because we recognized the other day, even Matt Walsh from the Daily Wire, who said that he was, you know, he's being threatened by liberals left and right, and they're talking about deplatforming him from YouTube, and they've already been demonetizing him, like he can't have ads running anymore, that he was going to go start broadcasting his show on Twitter because Elon Musk is committed right now to the idea that the First Amendment means something. So ours is doing the same. So we're on a variety of platforms. Help me out, Boomer. What all are we on? We got the
website. We got website, YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Twitch.
And Twitch. Okay, mm-hmm. That's right. The newest one being Twitter, of course. If you're on Twitter, so am I. So is Right Side. You can find the show at RS Ruffian.
Correct.
Okay, good.
RS Ruffian.
All right, good.
And
deal.
then your Twitter is also there.
At Sin, that's S-E-N, not S-I-N. S-E-N Phil Williams. At Perfect. Sin Phil Williams. So yeah. And I always kind of retweet it over to my page. I would encourage you to do the same so other folks can see it, and it creates a trend, because, see, I understand social media now. Trend. Anyway, all right, listen, we got plenty of content here. Let me grab my notes real quick. So first out the gate, Triple Dipper, and by the way, top of the hour, a call will be coming in from Stephanie Smith from the Alabama Policy Institute. Let's talk through a few things that are happening down yonder in Montgomery, down yonder on Goat Hill. So I'm committed to the idea, having served there 8 years, I'm even more committed to the idea that what comes out of Montgomery oftentimes has more direct impact on our day-to-day than what we see out of D.C. You know, at D.C., you find out they're spending X on, you know, these military buildups, or they're finding, you know, reasons why to send money to Ukraine, or they're going to, and there's things that impact us, sure. But then you find things coming out of Montgomery, like how much tax are you going to pay at the pump? What are you paying for groceries? Can you text and drive? What are the laws regarding certain crimes in our state? And all that comes out of Montgomery, and it usually all happens during a legislative session. So first thing you know is do understand that, you know, I've been harping on this show now for the last, how long have I been on the air? July of 21, so do the math. I mean, we're looking at well over a year and a half. But I've been harping on the fact that our legislature has just been sort of do-nothings when it comes to tax relief. Every state around us, and many others not contiguous with us, have done some measurable form of tax relief. And usually, by the way, it was done in response to the fact that those states were receiving windfall monies related to COVID, and they knew the private sector was hurting, so they did something. Alabama, nada, nothing. Biggest budget surpluses in the history of the state. Passing the biggest budgets right now the state has ever seen. And by the way, it was not just one-time money surpluses. It was actual surplus revenues gained from the usual sources. But finally, I think the word has sunk in, and we're starting to see tax cuts. So AL.com had a story that came out just a couple weeks ago. It says, family budgets are feeling the pinch of inflation. Alabama, on the other hand, has an unusual surplus for state budgets. Those are two main reasons state lawmakers are considering tax cuts this year. There's about a half dozen bills, the article says, that would reduce taxes. Well, that's cool, and I know it. We've been tracking some of it. But so far, we got things like phasing out the state sales tax on groceries. I'll tell you more about that in a minute. Eliminating the state income tax on overtime pay. I'll cover that one for you in a minute, too. Modest cuts to income tax and expansion of tax exemptions for people 65 and older. And then, of course, Governor Kay Ivey called for none of that, but she does want a one-time rebate of either $400 for individuals or $800 for couples. All that right now is in the legislative process. Some of it looks like it's actually going to pass. I mean, like the one about state income tax, it got unanimous approval in the House of Representatives just about 2 weeks ago. If it passes there and goes to the Senate and passes there, it becomes the law. It's about an $82 million tax savings to the state as a whole. All right, that's cool. And what it's dealing with there is we currently have income tax rates in Alabama that are either 2 to 5%, depending upon your income level. This would eliminate the 2% bracket. It would also apply to the first $500 in income for individuals. You wouldn't be taxed on that. And the first $1,000 for couples. So in other words, you're getting a larger place of relief, but you're also not having taxes collected from folks in the lowest income brackets. And then it cuts the upper rate, 5%, down to 4.95%. All right. You know, it's not everything, but it's something. It sure is. That's being sponsored by Representative Danny Garrett. He's also a budget chair in the House. And then you got Senator Orr, who's a budget chair in the Senate. He's been on the show multiple times. Senator Orr hails from our listening area here in Decatur. Orr is also sponsoring not just those income tax bills in the Senate that I told you about. He's also sponsoring one that would gradually repeal the 4% sales tax on groceries. Now, this is a big one. This one right now raises about $600 million a year for the education budget. But we're also one of the only states in the nation that taxes groceries at all. And of the ones, which I think there's like 10 or 11 states that tax groceries, there's only three that tax it at the highest possible rate the state will allow, and we're one of those three. So 4% on the dollar of everything you buy at a grocery store, and by the way, when inflation makes the cost of bacon go up, guess what? You pay more tax on it too because it's 4 cents on the dollar. So when that happens, you're taxing the poorest among us. The poorest among us have to buy milk and bread. This would begin to reduce that. I'll tell you more about that in a minute because a new movement happened just yesterday on it. And then you got the fact, though, that Democrats, they can't stand it. They want to see the grocery tax go away. They've harped on this for years, but they don't want to do it unless it means, you know, raising taxes somewhere else. Why? Because they're suckers for the teachers union. That's why. But Marika Coleman, senator from Pleasant Grove, she was planning on doing a grocery tax cut, but that would also then do away with the federal deduction credit you get on your income taxes. Huh. Her point is, well, let's make sure that we lower it here but raise it over there. Well, that offset means we didn't see any savings. Don't do it. And then lastly, you might want to know, there's also a plan right now for people over the age of 65 to see exemptions for their withdrawals from 401ks and things like that because, you know, it's part of what retirement's about. It's trying to get by. And this will be a very big help, I hope. All right, now the grocery tax thing, man, that took a new turn. So story on Yellowhammer came out yesterday. Senator Andrew Jones, District 10, he's the one that took my place in the Senate. So Senator Andrew Jones is the lead sponsor on a grocery tax repeal that has the co-sponsorship of every single member of the Senate. Wow. Okay, didn't see that coming. Now, I will say that Senator Orr's bill, the original grocery tax bill, it has merit. It certainly does. It was a phase-in over time, and it also had a reduced amount of food that could be considered discountable for tax purposes. Not this one. This new bill, which Senator Orr, by the number 35 here, there's only 35 members of the Senate. Just 35. Guess how many sponsors we have? 35. Every member of the Senate is for this bill, or at least they say they are. It would reduce the sales tax on groceries by half immediately. 2% would be gone. That's cool. Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth, in a stunning announcement, it says here on Yellowhammer News, has revealed that all members of the Alabama Senate have signed on to a proposal to cut the tax in half this year with a full cut at a later date. The bill begins phasing out the state sales tax and the use tax on food on September 1st. So it would start right at the end of this fiscal year. To get future cuts, there has to be positive growth in the education trust fund. In other words, they're saying, listen, if the budgets tank, we can't afford to lose the revenue. But they will have a phase-out plan, assuming the the economy stays where it needs to be. And, oh, by the way, this bill also expands the definition of what qualifies as the right food to be exempted from tax, which means it hits more people. That's good. All right, these things have all happened and more. I'm going to come right back and tell you about these stalling tactics that we're seeing, though, on school choice. I mean, come on, fellas, what a chump move. You go in, you have them all do their public hearing, and then you go, well, I'm going to refer this to another committee. That's Senator Donnie Chesteen from down in South Alabama. And I know Donnie, he's a good dude, but this was just the wrong thing to do. This was absolutely, it was tacky. We'll talk about it in a minute. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Hey, listen, a couple of ones I want to point out to you right now. So first of all, in terms of tax relief, there is also another bill moving that I'm really keen on. I didn't even see this coming. In fact, it never even occurred to me that this could be done. I love novel approaches to providing things like tax relief and doing creative ways to benefit, you know, the broader population of the state in a real way. And by the way, this is interesting because this is a tax relief bill coming from the Democrats. Democrat House Minority Leader Anthony Daniels of Huntsville, who came on the show a few weeks back and we talked about this. I mean, by the time he finished talking, I had people texting in saying, are you sure he's a Democrat? Because, I mean, he is literally saying we need to cut taxes in order to increase productivity and get people back to work, which will also help the business side of things. And I'm thinking, that's just like, yeah. So here's the deal. His bill would, it would reduce income tax on overtime. That's just cool. So the bill by House Minority Leader Anthony Daniels is one of many tax cut proposals pending in the legislature. So it says an article on AL.com dated 2 days ago. And it's also, by the way, advancing. It's moving through the process. It's making it out of committee. It's got a good chance of passage. So HB 217 is the bill, House Bill 217. Earnings received by a full-time hourly employee for work performed in excess of 40 hours in a week does not then count as gross income for the purpose of state income tax. Wow. Which carries a 5% rate. Daniel said the chance for employees to keep more of what they earn would be a work incentive. So if you work overtime, you're working without taxation. Do tell. So Anthony Daniels, he says this increases the workforce participation rate, but it also provides an incentive for participating. An experienced and trained workforce is there to add additional work hours and be able to take home more. This is just good, man. The committee added an amendment. This had to happen, apparently. Not had to. It's facetious. I ain't serious. The committee added an amendment by Representative Danny Garrett, who is a budget chair, that would end the tax exemption after 3 years unless the legislature decided to extend it. In other words, this is a really good idea, Representative Daniels, but scares the crap out of me, so we're going to put a sunset on it. That's what they're doing. Nonetheless, it looks like it would save taxpayers $45 million a year if passed into law. My understanding is upstairs in the Senate, you're going to see Senator Sam Gavan of Huntsville carrying the bill, Republican. So it's a bipartisan bill. It's already passing out of committee in the House, goes to the floor there and comes upstairs. We could see this thing pass into law. I think that would be great. I think that would be awesome. So we'll see what in the world happens there. Then there's school choice. And you know how this show feels about school choice, man. And this one just ticks me off. So the Price Act, the Parental Rights and Children's Education Act, this is the true school choice bill. This is the one that says the money follows the student. Go ye therefore, parents and legal guardians, take care of your kids and decide what's best for them, because you're the better one to make the decision. Well, the bill came to a public hearing in the Senate, and it went to the Senate Education Committee Chairman, Senator Donnie Chastain of Geneva, down yonder in Coffee County at the southern end of our state. And after having a public hearing in which a ton of people came, and five spoke for and five spoke against, rather than calling it for a vote, Senator Chastain decided to refer it out to another committee. Well, then why'd you waste our time, Senator? You know exactly what this is. In fact, at the end of the article, the bill sponsor, Larry Stutz, who's been on the show talking about it, he said, I understand the stalling tactics. You're just trying to run out the legislative session. I understand where this is headed. And Chastain responded to him, I'm sure you do, which tells me exactly what was happening. So the teachers' union looks like they got to Donnie Chastain, Senator Chastain from Geneva, and they told him to go ahead and waste some more time, please. Maybe we can run out the clock. That's what they're trying to do, man. They're trying to kill it with time. And that's just wrong. That was just a patsy move, man. Here's another one. I do like this. State legislators introduced a bill to ban public drag shows where children are present. I like it. Says several Alabama House Republicans, State Reps Arnold Mooney, Jamie Keel, Scott Stothagen, and Mac Butler, and Jim Carnes, all of which are in this listening area, by the way, are adding revisions to the state code that already exists about obscenity and minors and all that, and amends the definition of sexual conduct so that it includes drag queen shows. But the idea here is stop having drag queen shows with kids. Or stop pretending that it's a family-friendly event when you've got these, you know, incredible parodies of women dressed in scantily clad clothing and, you know, over-accentuating their body parts. Anyway, Tennessee already passed one. Well, of course, the Central Alabama Pride Group issued a statement Thursday condemning the bill as harmful and violating the First Amendment. We have a right to expose ourselves to children, they say. They didn't say that. I put that quote in their mouths. But nonetheless, that's their sentiment. All right, while we're talking about cutting taxes, you might want to know there's a way they're raising taxes on you without you realizing it. So usually you think of taxes like sales taxes, hotel lodging taxes. But these things get put in place sometimes, and you don't even realize they're there, but they make your life more expensive. So how about this? A new bill was just dropped in. 1819 News has the story. A surcharge will be added to all mobile communication devices in the state to fund the new 988 crisis system. House Bill 389, sponsored by Republican Budget Chairman Rex Reynolds of Huntsville, says the bill would create a governing board. Okay, so it's growing government. It's going to create a new government board to oversee the 988 crisis system. And then it's going to set up a multi-million dollar receipt of the 98 cents per month that all of us will pay now to have a phone. What's another 98 cents? By the way, this was signed into law during the Trump administration. I got to tell you, it's a National Suicide Hotline Designation Act. I'm fine with that. But Alabama just put in place the largest surcharge of any state. So 98 cents on the dollar or on the bill is going to go to the new 988 system. Interesting when you see an unfunded mandate come with the federal government, and down here they don't even blink at it. All they do is just go ahead and add a new government board and raise the taxes. Dang. All right, folks, we're coming right back. Stephanie Smith, president of the Alabama Policy Institute, she'll be on. She'll tell us what's what and what they're working on. You guys stay tuned. We will be right back. right side.